What's good about the Falcons offseason is that they're getting better in the trenches. What's bad? Did they overpay for Jesse Bates? We'll break down and debate both with Jarvis Davis on today's Locked On Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and the most humble host that has ever existed, all right, of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, your team every day. And, guys, we thank everybody for making Locked On Falcons their first listen each and every day. Subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And check us out on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV by subscribing to or downloading the Locked On Sports Atlanta app on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So coming up on today, we are rejoined by Jarvis Davis of the ATL Day Ones podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family. And we're going to be talking with Jarvis to get his thoughts. We haven't spoken with Jarvis for several weeks now on the podcast to sort of get his thoughts on the Falcons offseason so far. So without further ado, let's jump into that conversation. All right, everyone, we are back with another illustrious guest, none other than Jarvis Davis. It's been so long since we've had Jarvis Davis, the co-host of the ATL Day Ones podcast, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Find it wherever you get your favorite podcast. It's been so long since we had Jarvis on. It's been since January. So there's a lot of Falcons news. Yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff that's happened with the Falcons over, what, the last 5-6 weeks?
Really?
So, you know,
I haven't noticed.
Yeah, yeah, stuff's going on. So, you know, a lot of stuff that people thought would happen didn't necessarily happen, but we'll get into it. We'll pick Jarvis's brain over what's been going down the last couple of weeks and whatnot on today's episode. So, Jarvis, let's jump right into it, man. Let's talk about some of the moves that the Falcons have made so far this offseason that you are a big fan of.
Man, I got to start with David Onyemata. I thought that was a perfect fit because when you think about, you know, Taquan Graham coming off the injury, it's going to take some time for him to kind of get acclimated back into where he was. Because we saw some good things from him last year, right? You know, he was starting to make his way as far as being a guy that can be a nice run stopper for the Atlanta Falcons. But when you talk about bringing in a veteran guy like David Onyemata, that makes your rotation a little bit better. So, you know, you get Onyemata in there as a starter next to Grady Jarrett, and then you can have a guy like Taquan Graham who you can rotate in, you can keep those guys fresh, and you know that it's not going to be that big of a drop-off. So, yeah, David Onyemata is one that I really, really like. I thought that was a good addition to the fold. So, and to be honest with you, man, it's not necessarily – I love the Chris Lindstrom extension. I know that he still had another year left on his contract, but like when you figure out who your right guard is going to be for the next 4 or 5 years, man, and you can kind of write in permanent marker right there with Chris Lindstrom's name, I think that, you know, you reward a guy that has been playing very exceptional and surrounded by some guys who haven't. So I'll just keep it to be nice. So and then also. To add to that, I think Kalen McGarry is a guy that, you know, for the number that they got him at, with a little bit over $11 million a year annually. I think that's something that you got to give Terry Fontenot kudos, you know, to play that game. Like, hey, you feel like you can go get $16-17 million a year or whatever and be one of the top 10 paid tackles in the league. Go ahead, go get it. And then once that market kind of was a little cool on him, Terry jumped right in and gave him an offer that he couldn't refuse. So I think that sewing up those guys, those two on that side of the offensive line and not having to go out and go draft his replacement, Kalen McGarry, that is, I think that those are a few moves that I really, really like. And I think the Falcons are rocking and rolling on that end up front.
Okay. I'm also curious. I didn't get the chance to check out ATL Day Ones when you guys talked about this, but What were your thoughts when you heard the Calais Campbell is visiting news? Are you intrigued by that, or are you one of those folks that's like, you know, he's too old?
I'm intrigued because as soon as I heard him that they were gonna supposed to meet or have some conversations or whatever, I immediately went back to 2016 when they signed Dwight Freeney. I was just like, wow. There was a young group, you know, guys that on the defensive line, along the defensive line. You had a guy like in Vic Beasley that, you know, needed a little guidance, obviously, and it would end up in 15 and a half sacks that year, led the league. And I think some credit goes to Dwight Freeney for, you know, being that mentor and saying, hey, here's how you do a spin move, sir. You might want to use it every now and then. So as a counter move, because we know what your number one, what your fastball is. That's, we know you're going to try to come off the edge. That's your go-to. But I think that, you know, having an experienced veteran on a squad makes a lot of sense. Now, I know Grady Jarrett is an experienced veteran, but, you know, when you think about having somebody that is – who's a Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame caliber type player, I think that matters, man. And then he got you, what, 5.5 sacks for the Baltimore Ravens last year? I'll take that. Like, cause my whole thing is, like, I don't think at this point you're trying to find a guy that's going to come in and get you 10, 12 sacks. You're trying to find guys that can come in and get you 6 or 7 or 4 or 5, because at the end of the day, you want as many bodies that can get to the passer, you know, on third and long. And I think that that's what the Falcons have been lacking for a very, very long time. So I think that, you know, bringing a guy like Calais Campbell in could help some guys like Arnold Ebiketie or you know, D'Angelo Malone, you know, some of those guys, and even Ellis, who they just signed, you know, some of those, and you know, he's going to be used in that in pass rush situations as well. So all of, like, adding a veteran presence to the locker room, not only for just a locker room standpoint and maybe somebody can lean on when you have questions about certain things or getting home on third downs. And also he'd be able to give you a little production as well. So I'm very intrigued by it.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of breaking it down. Like, it's one thing to have a guy in the locker room that's going to help your locker room, but you also want that guy to be able to produce on the field, right? You
absolutely
know, like, yes. Diminish, you know, the locker room presence and the leadership that a player can provide, but, you know, if it's not helping you win football games on Sunday, like, it only goes so far, right? You know,
exactly,
so
yeah.
I think Calais Campbell certainly embodies, you know, sort of that two-pronged approach in terms of, you know, not only a locker room guy but also an on-field presence. But we'll continue the conversation here with Jarvis Davis of ATL Day Ones on the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast feed, and talk maybe a little bit about some of the moves that Jarvis is not as thrilled about as we continue today's Locked On Falcons. So there's more to come, guys, but first, you know, I love this time of year, right? You know, March Madness is in the air, you know, with basketball and Built Bars, my two favorite BB things, basketball and Built Bar, right? You know, because you could, you know, vote and participate in the Built March Madness bracket by going to BuiltMarchMadness.com, and you can vote for your favorite flavor to see who advances, you know, past the Elite Eight into the Final Four and all that and more. And the great thing is that when you vote, you get entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built, and one lucky fan will get a 12-month subscription to Built and have the best bars and puffs delivered monthly straight to their door. And you got to try Built because it's the best protein bar ever. So good that you won't believe that they're good for you. But what makes them so good is they're covered in 100% real chocolate. They're low in calories and sugar, but high in protein. So run over to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. And you do use that promo code LOCKEDON15 and you'll get 15% off your order. And of course, you can vote every single day in the month of March. So hop on and support your pick. So continuing here with Jarvis Davis of ATL Day Ones, you can check it out on Locked On Sports Atlanta, wherever you get your podcast. Jarvis, we just talked about a couple of moves that you are a fan of. Are there been some other moves that maybe, not to say that you dislike, but maybe you're a little skeptical of at this point in time?
Can I say dislike? Skeptical, what the hell, Jesse Bates, man, like, I am not a fan of that move. I don't care what you people say. The back end of the defense can help, and you can, if you get into the passer, you know, and guys are getting open in 1.5 seconds, it don't matter if on the back. I don't care about none of that, man. You're talking about $16 million a year, Jack. Like, that is a lot of money. Like, I haven't seen safeties worth that money in a while. It's been a while since I've seen safeties that are worth that money. Now, I know guys have been paid that money. Harrison Smith, he's probably borderline, maybe. He's a really good safety. But I mean, I'm used to seeing guys either one or two things that getting paid that type of money. They do this on the field. Either they knocking your block off, which you can't do anymore, or two, these guys are getting turnovers. Like, I'm talking about picks. I'm talking about to the house. Like they are guys that are difference makers, guys that are going up in the line of scrimmage and jumping over offensive linemen and making tackle for loss, like Troy Polamalu. Like, that's that generation I come from. When I see, look at a safety, I say, okay, is this guy that top end type, crazy type of money type of guy? And I just don't see that with Jesse Bates. And now, I know he made it all pro in 2020. It's 2023. So, hey, I'm expecting that. Those are my expectations, because you've done it before, right? Like, that's my expectation. You at least need to be an all-pro safety, not at play at that level. I'm talking about be an all-pro, because we know, you know, that's the thing that you look at when it comes to, you know, how good a player is. When guys and coaches or players are voting on you to be into that role, that's how you know guys are playing some good football. So, but yeah, that's the one that just really – I knew all of the things, all of the stars aligned for it to happen. I wasn't surprised by it, but that don't mean I have to like it.
Okay. Well, you're not alone in that camp. I know certainly here on Locked On Falcons, I've been very pro Jesse Bates. I'm sure many of my listeners are also pro Jesse Bates. So they really want me to come hard at you, Jarvis, and tell you why you're wrong. And come I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to do that today. Like, we'll see. Like, it's a lot of money. You're right. And why people are critical of it, because, you know, as you put out there, like, you know, if you're going to pay that sort of premium, he's going to be what, the fourth highest paid safety in the NFL. You're expecting, you know, more than just basically being the quarterback of the defense. You're expecting a guy that's going to go out there and make plays, right? We know Jesse Bates can be the leader and the quarterback, and he can get guys in the right position and, you know, make guys' jobs easier. That's why I think really what his value is going to be. You may not necessarily see it in his production. You may see a jump in Richie Grant's production. You may see a jump in AJ Terrell's production. So I think he's a player that can make everybody around him better. But certainly, if you're paying that type of money, you also want him to go out there and make those plays. And, you know, time will tell. You know, we'll get to September. We'll see, you know, Derek Carr, if he's overthrowing Michael Thomas and whatnot. And if Jesse Bates is there, you know, snagging those overthrows, then, you know, Jarvis, hey man, I guarantee you guys, Jarvis will be on this podcast praising Jesse Bates on the postcast.
I will.
But, you know, if he's not doing that, you're also going to hear Jarvis.
I'm all right. I'm going to bring it up, too. So, I'm fair and balanced, man. Come on. So
I sit here and I go, like, we'll talk about it in September. You know, there's no reason to argue about it now. We'll see in September. It will definitely be a topic of discussion. So are there any other moves that you're sort of looking at with the Falcons that they have made so far that you're a little bit skeptical of? Or is that just the main one, Jesse Bates?
That was the main one, but I look at it from this standpoint too, man. I really think that a guy like Lorenzo Carter, I'm not saying I don't dislike it or I'm skeptical of it. I think it was, you know, we had a lot of conversations about Lorenzo Carter, you know, coming into this season and on postcast. You know, y'all make sure y'all check that out once the season gets rolling. Preseason, man, we get started early, so y'all make sure y'all check that out. But I think that, you know, I'll be interested to see how that plays out again. Like I said, he had some decent production, you know, obviously didn't live up to the, you know, where he was drafted in that building when he was with the New York Giants. But I think, like, you're getting some production. It's like I mentioned earlier, like, you want guys to come in and get you 5-6 sacks, you know, and hopefully, you know, come April 27th, you know, with that 8th overall pick, you can get a guy can probably get you about 12 of those things. So that's kind of like, you know, where I am with it. But I think that hopefully Lorenzo Carter is a guy I definitely have my eye on. You know, how he's gonna. I'm interested to see how he rewards the Falcons for bringing him back.
Yeah, yeah. That was also a move that I was a little surprised by. I thought the Falcons were maybe moving in a different direction there at that position, and I'm kind of curious to see what other moves are potentially on the horizon. There were rumors that, you know, the Falcons were in on Marcus Davenport, but he ultimately went to Minnesota. We haven't really heard them connected to any other edge rusher this offseason. And it wasn't as if there was, like, you know, a whole bunch of guys out there. So maybe they figured, well, we know Lorenzo Carter. We know what he's going to bring to the table, and we'll bring him back because, you know, I don't want to say he's the devil that you know, but, you know, he's the more known commodity than maybe some of these other options that may be a little bit more expensive. But,
That's the thing about this class, though, Aaron, you know, because a lot of people, you know, were talking about this class as far as and I kind of was on the same page with him. Like, this is not – it wasn't one of the better free agent classes that we've seen. Like, it was pretty weak, you know what I mean? Especially when you have – I hate to bring up Mr. Bates again, but, you know, that's the prime free agent. That's the free agent that they say that most people were clamoring for when it comes to free agency. But I didn't hear anybody else talking about giving him $16 million a year. Did you? I mean, I may have missed that report, but like I said, if that's your top guy, because we know who gets the money when it comes to free agency in NFL, guys who can touch the passer and guys who can doggone cover out there and guys who can throw the football. And, you know, the quarterback class was weak sauce. And then, unless you think Derek Carr is a more than serviceable quarterback, but that's a whole nother conversation, but for another day. But I think that when you have those type of situations where, you know, guys like Deron Payne, we talked about him as far as being potentially being a free agent, they won't go let Deron Payne walk out the door. The dude just got double digit sacks as an interior defensive lineman. So there's no way Washington was going to let him walk out that door. So all the good players, they don't let him walk. So, and I think that with this class and how it was, you know, it was a little weak, but I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I think there is some value there. And I think that how this market has kind of played out this year, I think is kind of proven that.
Okay. Yeah. So with a weak free agent class, that probably means that, you know, if you're looking forward to anything, you're looking forward to what the Falcons do in the draft. And so we'll get into that conversation here with Jarvis, talking about some of the moves that he's still hoping to see on the horizon, whether that's free agency or the draft. We'll get into that as we wrap up today's Locked On Falcons. Guys, there's more to come on today's episode, but we are in the thick of the NCAA tournament. Things are absolutely heating up, and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Download the app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And if you're new to FanDuel, it's great because you get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That means you get bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win, right? And you can put that bet on money lines, point spreads, parlays, how many threes are drained, whether it's in the basketball tournament, whether it's in the NBA. If you're still all about football, you still got XFL, you got NFL draft props going on. So don't miss your chance to make that no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So, Jarvis, let's talk about some moves that have yet to be made. Again, talking a little bit about Lorenzo Carter and, you know, adding a little bit more juice to that edge rusher room. Caden Ellis, you know, is going to help the pass rush, but maybe playing a little bit more of that off-ball linebacker role that he played in New Orleans. I've been saying on the podcast for the last week, after basically a month of saying they're going to get a cornerback in the first round, but now I'm leaning towards them getting an edge rusher. And I've been telling people on the podcast that would be music to your ears here on the podcast. So I'm just curious, what is your reaction to that statement from me?
Oh, man, if the Falcons draft, an edge rusher and with that eighth overall pick, man, I don't know if I won't just run outside with my shirt off and put it on video and put up a short on YouTube. Like, dude, and I need you to share that thing for your boy too, man. Cause like, hey, I will be happy. Like, as a matter of fact, Aaron, if they do, I'm booking right now on this show today. What's the day? March 23rd. It's three, a little bit of three, and it's in the afternoon time. You know, I'm going to get a little time stamp like that. But, hey, man, if the Falcons draft an edge rusher, bro, like, and that's not Jalen Carter. That's the count. That is the count. If they draft an edge rusher, dude, I promise you, I will go outside with my shirt off and run up and down the street screaming in elation. That's where I'm at with that statement. Yes. So that's right, well, how much I agree with you, my friend.
I will definitely clip this and hold you to that. come April. So we'll yes. see. But I am sort of curious now that we've, you know, and obviously there's still potential moves to be made. The Falcons could add more pass rushes, more offensive line help in free agency or whatever. But I'm just curious, as you look at this roster right now, where do you feel like some of the still question marks they have that you feel, you know, moving forward that this team still needs to address?
Wow. It has to be the left guard position, right? Because when you think about, you know, potentially who could be in there that's on this roster right now, like, we're going to Matt Hennessy? Is he going to play left guard this year? Like, is he the guy that's going to come in? You know, we had Wilkinson last year that came, I thought, who did a solid job when he wasn't injured. I thought he was fine. You know, he wasn't a sore thumb like Jalen Mayfield. So I think that when you have a guy that can be serviceable, because you don't necessarily need the highest paid or a number one overall pick or whatever across the board on the offensive line, you just need guys that can come in and know how to work within that unit, right? And that's what Caleb McGarry has done, you know, next to Chris Lindstrom. So they've fortified that side of the offensive line. I think that Drew Dahlman, I'm looking to see some improvement on his end. So, but that left guard spot, it has to be addressed at some point. And I think that, you know, more than likely, I feel like they'll bring back Wilkinson. But if they don't, you know, they definitely have to go into the draft. And I think that you mentioned it earlier, the edge rusher. I think the edge rusher spot is something that, based off the way this roster has been built and constructed, Terry Fontenot has been adding depth on certain spots. And I think that, whew, man, I think you might be right, though. I know I said I run around with my shirt off and everything. They draft the edge rusher, but the more and more I look at it, the more and more I kind of think about it. When you think about who's at that opposite side of A.J. Terrell, Casey Hayward, he's coming off a torn pec muscle. He said he should be ready by the start of the season. Dude, if Christian Gonzalez is sitting right there at eight, don't you have to consider taking him? Especially when you got guys like Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, you know, Tyree Wilson. If those guys are off the board, like, I don't know if I can say, hey, go ahead and take him. You know, if I'm Terry Fontenot, because unless you get a deal an offer you can't refuse to move down, I think that, you know, you got to look at potentially bringing in a guy who's rated pretty much by anybody who knows what they're looking at when it comes to watching football, the number one corner in this draft.
Okay. All right. We're about 5 weeks away from the draft. Is there a particular player other than some of the ones that you've already mentioned that you kind of have your eye on? Though, as we were down in Mobile, we watched a couple of guys that certainly are probably not in contention to be picks for the Falcons at eight, but, you know, 5 weeks out, you know, is there a couple of names that you want to circle for the listeners that you have your eyes on potentially as future Falcons?
Man, dog, like, I gotta talk about my two guys on the offensive line, the interior guys. John Michael Schmitz is a center out of Minnesota, and Nick Broker. Like, those are some guys that I feel like that would definitely, specifically Nick Broker, I think he'll be able to lock in real nicely at that left guard spot, because, you know, the thing that I like about those guys is the fact that they're tough as doo-doo. And when you think about in pass protection, guys just kind of just sit down. One thing that I always used to discourage me when I play defensive line is offensive lineman that when you look at him, you're like, oh man, I got this dude. But when you get in that game and you just give him your best pass muscle rule, and he just be sitting right there,
just sitting down, just got his arms or hands on your right there on your chest pads, perfectly good position, and you sitting up here like, dude, like, why is this dude not moving? So, and that's the type of guy that Smith, John Michael Smith, the doggone Nick Brokaw, man. Like, they just, in pass one-on-ones, man, they just sit down and just cop a nice little squat, man, and just, like, they sitting in a chair in the air. Like, and it just, boom, and they just lock in. Those guys just be like, defense line, just, and they just be sitting there, la, 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 la. I love that, man. I love that, man. I didn't like it when I was a player, but just looking at it now and knowing what would be able to help this Falcons team out really, really quickly and come in and be a day one starter, that's the type of stuff that I love to see, man. And I think that if Fondo got their eyes on those guys, and we know they like cats coming from the Senior Bowl, I think they'll be cooking with grease on those two guys.
Yeah, yeah. Nick Broker from Ole Miss, for those mm-hmm. of you that aren't familiar with him. You know, free agency seems to be slowing down. Is there a couple of free agents out there that you also have your eye on? You're like, you know, hey, Falcons, you know, give that guy a call. Is there a couple of guys out there?
Yannick Ngakoue. Okay. He ain't much against the run, but man, the dude knows how to get home. He don't play it on, I think it was like four or five teams in the past few years. Well, not four or five, like three or four teams in the past few years, but the guy can do numbers, man. He got like 9 sacks last year, and he's always been a guy that I've always kind of admired from afar when it comes to, you know, getting home on third and long. So, yeah, if Terry and them give him a call and they say he's coming in for a visit, hey, man, you know me, man. Get as many dudes that can come in here and get you about 6-7 sacks, man. Hey, man, I'm telling you, you get about 40 of them things towards the end of the year, might be in conversation for the playoffs, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Maybe, maybe.
No more 7-10s. We're tired of that crap, man. Come on, man. Y'all watched the postcast. Y'all saw what time it was. Like, we don't want to do it. We don't like talking bad about the team. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. We like to have fun. That's what we do.
There you go. Well, Jarvis, my good friend, we will catch up much sooner than we have the last couple of weeks when you're next on the podcast. I definitely look forward to talking with you over the next 5 weeks as we get geared up for this draft and talking about players and positions that Falcon fans need to keep their eye on. And I certainly look forward to your reaction on draft night, on positive, negative, or all the things in between. You know, if Jarvis is just like, yeah, that's fine. Like, you know, I don't think we're going to get that reaction from you on draft night regardless.
Yeah, it's going to be opposite end of the spectrum, bro. That's it. That's the only way it's going down. They're going to be like, oh, okay, that's a nice pick. Nah, bro, not with the Falcons, dog. Like, they're going to shock me one way or the other, brother. That's what I'm expecting on April 27th, for sure.
So let the people know what they can find on ATL Day Ones and Locked On Sports Atlanta in the meantime.
A lot of good foolishness, man. That's what we do. Sports foolishness. Nah, but seriously. But yeah, man, Falcons, Braves, Hawks, you know, I'm almost kind of like ready to stop talking about them. But yeah, we still talk about them too. you know, we might sprinkle a little college basketball in there from time to time as well. So yeah, make sure you guys check us out at Locked On ATL on Twitter. And I'm at Jarvis D. 90 on Twitter as well. So yeah, and then make sure you check us out on YouTube. We're free and available wherever you download your podcast. Gotta get that branding in, Mr. Freeman.
There you go. Yeah, you know, they dock us in our pay if they
yes. If you don't say that, then something ain't going right at the end of the month. Like, that's for sure.
There you go. Your team every day.
Every damn day. Let's go.
There you go. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us here on today's Locked On Falcons. We'll be back, of course, next week with a Mock Draft Monday, talking about another player that could be on the Falcons radar at 8. And, of course, that's an opportunity for you guys to do mailbag questions because, you know, we love alliteration here on Locked On Falcons, Monday mailbag. So send in your questions to Twitter or Facebook at Locked On Falcons, via email at lockedonfalcons@mail.com. You can leave a comment here on the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel, or you can hit me up in the Locked On Falcons Discord, a link in the description below. But, guys, really appreciate it. We'll be back with more content next week. I hope you have a great weekend. From Jarvis and myself, you know, again, your team every day.
Every damn day.